The WYSL stations bring you Jose Pio and Laval Lewis and your weekly dose of PCP. It's your hour of common sense with the politically correcting podcast and show.
Maybe, maybe, maybe. We're just talking off air over here like we normally do.
Time.
Well, you'll get to see the maybe the behind the mic talks tomorrow evening again. Our podcast is returning, our NSFW podcast.
Yes.
Tomorrow evening, 6 o'clock. Make sure you're on our Facebook page. Actually, jump on now because we are live. You can see our beautiful faces.
Is that not suitable for women? Is that what it is?
No. First of all, not suitable for work. But
okay. Oh, the women do tune in. It's kind of weird.
Actually, our podcast, I believe we're at 60% women, 40% males.
Yeah.
We are certainly not NSFW women.
They like the voices.
I don't know about the voices. I mean, your voice, maybe. I don't have a radio voice. Yeah. I don't know how I'm still on the radio. Bob, you can kick me off anytime you want.
He never would do that, no.
No, well, we have the switchable stud filter, which we flip on, and then it makes you irresistible.
Well, there you go. First of all, I'm already irresistible for anyone out there that does not know.
Oh, man.
Overload the transmitter.
Right. Turn your radio down. All right. So let's get into the conversation today because, man, there's been some nonsense in our city this past week. Absolute and utter nonsense. And the fact of the matter is we have leadership in this area who seems to try and, you know, pee on us and then tell us it's not raining.
Oh, can you be specific as far as which leader are we talking about?
I'm going to get into this
now because
two people were charged Monday night after Rochester police said a security guard was beaten with a baseball bat.
Messing with my people, man.
Right. I knew you'd like this one.
The
guard told the people inside a parked vehicle at LaGrange Park, which is in the Great Northwest District, mind you, which is pretty sad that I don't see our council person, our new council person, anywhere talking about any of the nonsense that's been happening in the Great Northwest, that when I left it, the police had a great relationship with the community. Hey, I don't know what's going on. It's not for me to decide.
Hey, give out the names.
Yeah, we're
taking names here.
We're taking names? All right. The guard told the people inside a parked vehicle at LaGrange Park that the park was closed shortly before 8:30 p.m. According to investigators, when the guard threatened to ticket the people for refusing to leave, it was alleged that Patricio Siaka punched the victim with his fist while Omira Hulsizer struck the guard with a bat. Mm. The guard called 911, followed suspects in their vehicle until police pulled them over on Clifford Avenue. Hulsizer and Siaka were arrested, along with two juveniles. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Hulsizer was charged with second-degree assault, and despite a bail request by the Monroe County DA's office, was released on her own recognizance. What most people forget, and this is where, you know, this is probably the area where I can shine here because I don't forget these types of things. What most people forget is that back on February 16th, 2022, Mayor Malik Evans said, "It is with great pride that I appoint LaToya Lee as Rochester's next city court judge. I sincerely thank the members of the selection committee who helped identify and recommend LaToya Lee from among many high qualified applicants for the role." Now, here's a problem with, in my opinion, you guys have your own opinion. Again, you come to us just so we can give you the information and you make up your own decisions, right? We just have the conversations. Problem with career politicians like Malik Evans, Adam Bello, Joe Morelli, people like that who pretty much control everything in this area. They continue to hire the same political insiders who are just the local version of the Washington, D.C. swamp. You always see the same people getting jobs no matter what. Same names from the uniparty rulers continue to live life on the taxpayer dollar as long as they stay in line. If they don't, like the judge here, they might end up on the chopping block like the incident with Joe Morelli back in 2020 when Mayor Lovely Warren called a news conference to say that Congressman Morelli had personally told her that he had contacted RIT to seek legislator Sabrina Lamar's firing. Do you recall the actual reason that caused Joe Morelli to get his panties in a bunch? Do you recall the reason?
No.
Well, legislator Sabrina Lamar appeared on a program with Robin Wilt to talk about her work with RIT's Community Engagement to Reduce Victimization program, which works with victims of gun violence. Awesome program. Sabrina was a program's coordinator. After her appearance on the show, she received calls, numerous calls, asking why she would be supporting Morelli's political opponent when she was a Democratic office holder. All she did was talk about her job. Mm. That's all she did. That's how much control these career Democrats require over the local party, to the point that they will not only try to get someone fired, will not only get people hired into positions that other people are much more qualified for, let's be very honest here, but they'll try to get you fired. Not only that, they will potentially take funds that could have gone to her program, you know, that Community Engagement to Reduce Victimization program, and instead send it to brand new entities like, let's say, I don't know, the CRC, to be used to buy Jeep Wagoneers and buildings for their employees. Mm. It's just, to me, these types of issues, you see it cascading. It's a continual wheel that just spins around and around with my own party. And this is why, you know, I enjoy politicians who can call out their own party for the nonsense. It's why I like myself, I guess. Because this is what's going on in our local community. We have mayors who are appointing judges because of who they know, not essentially what they know, because as we've seen on the grand scale, we have Supreme Court judges that don't even know what a woman is. We continue to see the same people getting jobs left and right, nice paying jobs with the county, with the city, with the state government, everyone getting nice jobs. But as soon as you step out of line, man, they come down on you hard. Well, hopefully, and my hope is that they come down hard on this judge. But there's not much you could do. This judge allowed a person to get out with no bail after she beat a freaking city security officer with a bat.
Yeah.
What more do you need to say, yeah, this person is, it shouldn't, this person should not be out in the neighborhoods, walking the streets. They kind of have a dangerousness standard that we need to be able to hold this person.
Well, this is just the Democratic Party's chickens coming home to roost.
This is from the state? The sentencing guidelines and
bail
guidelines?
From what I know is that the state has told judges that they do have authorization to hold people if they do find them personally, within each other, to be someone that could offend again.
Yeah, but again, this is just the type of mentality that has been developed throughout time within our local and state and federal governments. Just recently, didn't the police officer that was shot, I believe in New York City, that person was let go with pretty much a slap on the wrist. They didn't hold them. They didn't keep them. And this is all about instability within our communities. They're trying to break down our very own sovereignty on the local level. We have a mayor that is weak on crime, that has been weak on crime, that is a weak leader to begin with. You go at Morelli. I mean, I saw this coming. I'm pretty sure he didn't see this coming. That was just a joke on eyesight. But anyway,
I figured that's where you're going with it.
To speak to the situation that happened with the guard, even there, the city's lack of support and also inaccurate way of training their guards, some of these situations could be kind of, handled better. I mean, no one respects a security guard within all dynamics of our lives. And they have no idea that these people are also first responders in certain situations. They're the first one that can report on a crime if they see it. My opinion on what happened to the guard could have, I'm a firm believer of, you want to get home safe, and defusing situations is sometimes just doing something like, I would have locked those people in the parking lot right, versus threatening with a ticket. And this whole situation could have been, averted. I know exactly where that park is. I know the setup. I don't know if they're either at the rec center or the smaller parking lot down further from the rec center. But all it is just a chain. If they're there, they don't want to leave. You give them a heads up. Hey, I'm locking up. And if they don't leave, lock their behind up and move on about your business. So to see Malik kind of be adamant about what happened and angry and upset and showing
after he caused it.
Yeah, after he's, let me be mayor now.
Yeah.
Sit down, bro.
Let me portray as if I'm a strong black man.
Yeah. I'm a strong black mayor of the city of Rochester because crime is not a problem. But yeah.
Yeah, they said we're much safer now, right?
Yeah.
Do you feel much safer? I see all the news. I see all of it. And I can promise you, I don't feel any safer now than I did 2 years ago, 4 years ago. It's absolute utter nonsense in the city. We'll be back, though, to discuss further more of the city nonsense and see if we can maybe we could change the world one city at a time with this conversation with Lavelle Lewis, myself, the Jose Pio. We are the Politically Correcting Boys here at the WYSL radio station with the Bobbies, obviously on the ones and twos. 346-3000 is the number to call in if you got some insight that you want to share. Give us a call.
Quality of life we deserve in truth and freedom, informed by our Constitution, our laws, and traditions, we need to pick the best leaders possible. Recent experience certainly illustrates that. Free and accurate elections are essential if we're going to restore our society and safeguard our rights. New York Citizens Audit is a volunteer, nonpartisan group which has been lobbying for open source audits of the State Board of Elections and reform of the electoral process statewide. Did you know Citizens Audit has uncovered over 1 million felony violations of election law? That in 2020, there were 625,000 more voter registrations than existing voting age citizens in just six New York counties, that there were 338,000 more votes cast than voters who voted. These are just a few shocking examples of the urgent need for reform. You can help. Visit auditny.com and learn the facts, how to volunteer, and make a difference in your community. Again, volunteer, donate, or spread the word. Start at auditny.com. That's auditny.com.
Youth for Christ Rochester is growing. With the help from the John R. Wegman Foundation, we're adding Saturday mornings back to basketball, while the Saunders Foundation brings back skills and drills for the spring and summer. Our middle school girls program will be starting in a second school this fall. Watch for a new name change for that program. But we need your help. Make a one-time gift of $300 or a monthly gift of $25 to sponsor a kid for a year. Go to yfcrochester.org/donate.
Advertising on the WYSL stations is both affordable and effective, but it's so much more than that. When your business or professional practice has a presence on the Voice of Liberty, you connect with a patriotic, awake, and aware audience that cares about society, our families, our schools, our values, and our future. And our listeners appreciate you and respond. We can end the madness together. For truth and freedom, the WYSL stations, the Voice of Liberty. Call 346-3000 to advertise today.
Politically correcting.
We are back. Lavelle Lewis, myself, the Jose Pio, with Dr. Bob and Bobby D back there on the ones and twos. We're going to jump into more nonsense. If you haven't seen the news this morning, 9:22 a.m., Monroe County Sheriff's deputies went to Wegmans for reports of shots fired at a car in the parking lot. The victim was waiting for a grocery delivery when a car drove up, fired one shot at the victim, then drove away. The victim was not injured, nor was anyone in the parking lot. This is in Pittsford. For anyone out there, because our podcast and our show is, you know, worldwide, for anyone out there, you got to understand, we have the city of Rochester, but what happens in the city of Rochester has sincerely impacted the towns around it. So we've got nice, beautiful suburbs where you'll have maybe one homicide in the entire year versus a city where we'll have 55 plus homicides in a year pretty consistently. The past couple of years, we've had over 80. And last year went down. This year is supposed to go down as well. I mean, we're probably hopefully never going to see the highs that we saw during COVID. But I guess that's what happens when you release all of the prisoners out into public in order to protect them from COVID. Mm-hmm. Anyways, do you not see that what is happening in the city is impacting the surrounding areas and the politicians that continue to make the same stupid mistakes where they are just, we have to allow these people out. No bail, no cash bail. You know, we're going to trust them to show up to court dates.
Mm-hmm.
It tends to be 10% of the entire population is doing most of the issues. I should say 10% of the entire population. I think it's 1% of the entire population is doing this right here with the gunshots. We got like 10% of the kids out there are causing a lot of this nonsense with the Kia drivers driving around up on the front lawns. I think you've seen it yourself.
Yeah, yeah, directly over there on Reynolds.
So what do we do? What do we do with these people? What, these people who are just constantly putting other people in danger and shooting up houses. We have people, people's houses being shot up, cars being shot up, as you see, even in Pittsburgh, a place where you would think would not be a spot where you would see a vehicle get shot up at. Now we're seeing the crime just expand out that way. And this is, in my opinion, this is what we get when we have a leadership like Adam Bello and Joe Morelli sitting down during the BLM riots and protests, getting on the ground with them, protesting against police. That's this is exactly why people just don't take anyone seriously. It's like, why? I can just do this. I'm going to get right back out because guess what? My political leadership, who makes the decisions on who stays in jail, who gets put in, you know, position of judges, who gets to decide what, you know, what action I take is actually worth being cash bail or being held in jail. These people are out here sitting in the middle of the street with BLM saying ACAB and F-12.
Yeah. And the problem with that is that there's also a more sinister reason for them to do this. You know, we talk about it sometimes with, you know, when we go into the conspiracy route of our shows, there is a bigger
conspiracy
play.
Realist.
Yeah, right.
That's what we are.
There is a bigger play. You want to kind of destabilize communities so that you can create the solution, which you don't want that solution that they're going to give you. We have to recognize our own power within our communities, especially within the inner city. There has to be some form of organizing amongst the victims. And I'm speaking directly to the victims of crime. There are so many people that have had people been shot and killed within their families. I'm one of them. It happened to me twice. Right. So if it happened to me, it can definitely happen to you. And that's one phone call you do not want to happen to you, Jose, within your family. And we are not saying these things without any personal experience of the crime that's happened within the city. But we have leaders who are going to stand up there and tell us what we're experiencing is not what we're experiencing. They're gaslighting us to believe that the city is safer than when it's ever been. The reason for a criminal to go out and shoot someone is because of some racial history that was not really prominent or prevalent within our city, but they're creating that myth that that's the case. That's the biggest lie that's ever been sold to the community, inner city communities, since Obama was in office.
Not only that, they will literally claim that it's because they're poor.
Yeah, right.
It's because they're poor that they have to turn to guns. It's because they're poor that they have to burn down and loot, you know, businesses.
Yeah, the poverty lie has been sold for too long. We talk about the history behind the poverty initiatives and all the things that they said was supposed to happen. But the thing is, when it comes to money and poor people, or even, you know, anyone, when you give them something without any type of accountability, they're just going to continue to take and not learn or even adjust or look to do better. You take a homeless man to a buffet, what do you think he's going to do? He's just going to eat all up the food and not save or do anything else. So these initiatives, these leaders, we have to really stand up and hold them accountable. Reject the solution they gave us. Reject the, we need bail reform.
Not just reject the solution they gave us. Reject the solution from the people who caused the problem. These are the people who caused the issues based on their reactions to the COVID restrictions.
Yeah.
Because the entire time I was sitting there saying, we can't do this or else it's going to lead to this. And none of them believed me in anything that I said. If we shut down mom and pop stores in a city because we're in the red zone, yet you can go right down the street in the suburbs or into Shalott, where they are the orange zone and they're allowed to open,
yeah,
you're going to sit there and tell me that this is going to impact those small mom and pop shops? We can open up the, you know, corporations to go through drive-thrus for fast food, but we can't open up churches. We can have liquor stores, but we can't have, you know, the juice shops. We have these decisions that politicians made. This is not, they're going to blame COVID. Mm-hmm. Politicians made the decisions to do everything. We are now experiencing the ramifications of the decisions they made during COVID. So if they sit there and say it's because people are poor that they're making these bad decisions, people are poorer now than they were 3 years ago.
Yeah,
so it's going to continue.
Yeah, you have to recognize it for what it is. Like that particular situation, that is nothing but communism entering our city. We had Marxists run up and down the streets with bullhorns, forcing white folks to get up out of their seats for Black Lives Matter. Okay,
took over City Hall.
The ringleader, Ashley Gantt, of that movement was literally propped up by the media. They put cameras in her face. They gave her a platform. They let her speak and also destroy our communities. And now she's running campaigns.
Spoke for you.
She spoke for me.
And your family.
And my family. But I spoke to her straight up in her face. And she told me, F the Constitution. Right? So if you see that face around any of these politicians, mainly like Damon Meeks. Damon Meeks literally put out a statement stating that the data shows that white supremacy and racism is the reason why crime is the way it is, and it's not anything other than that. And this guy's our state assembly, who I cannot wait to see lose. I cannot wait to see him lose. Because, again, it's that type of leadership where it's kind of like the current model of blackface. You put these individuals up in positions and you give them this platform, but you give them the rhetoric you know that's going to hurt and destroy their community. Marxism, socialism, anything that has to do with any type of communist ideology has been the destruction of African-American communities since MLK presented it to the world back in the 1960s.
And not just that, we've seen it and we've talked about it on the show where rap music has been promulgating this issue of this subculture of violence against each other, violence against others, violence against women. And it's propped up by the same white men who want the destruction of the communities because they want to control us.
Yeah, they don't want any competition. They don't want a conservative thinking Latino to go up there and really point out the problems. That's how you became a racist, right? That's their MO against you. For me, a black conservative Republican that goes out and tries to uplift you with telling you that you as an individual has a responsibility for yourself and you have to hold yourself accountable and your work is going to lead you through. I'm the Uncle Tom. I'm the sellout because I don't adhere to believing that somebody is superior than me based off of their color.
And everyone else who fell right in line with the same thought processes that these people pushed upon them and said, this person's a racist, this person's Uncle Tom, this person's a sellout, this person is a, you know, not who they say they are, so do not listen to them, pushed out into the masses. And now people are sitting there saying, well, what's going on? What's going on in this city? Mm-hmm. What's going on in this world? And we're just sitting here having conversations, blasting out all this information, the true information about what's going on. And they can't even accept it because that means that they were complicit in all of it.
Absolutely.
They were force-fed this information. They fell for the propaganda. They fell right in line with it, lockstep with what these people wanted them to think. And now we are seeing the ramifications of doing exactly that.
Yeah. Don't be a submissive male like quote-unquote educators like Howard Eagle, who's out there spewing nonsense Marxist rhetoric and literally stepping on the grave of people like Booker T. Washington, who think it's preposterous for you as a black man to pull yourself up from the bootstraps because the white man's boot is on your neck so hard where you can't fight back. But no, let's not talk about, you know, the historical accomplishments of black men like Chris Dunn. You ever heard of that guy?
Nope.
No, he was the first lieutenant governor of Louisiana in 1868. Served from 1868 to 1871 until he mysteriously died.
He must have been the blackface of white supremacy.
He was the sellout of all sellouts, right?
Must have been.
Possibly.
Weird. Politically Correcting Boys here. Just dropping names, dropping bombs, dropping truth information to your earlobes. Tell your friends. Share this with everyone you know because People need to be woken up to what is actually happening in the city, in this county, in the state, because it is happening all over the country. 346-3000 is the number to call here at the WYSL station. We'll be right back after this break.
Politically correcting.
We are back with the Politically Correcting Boys, Lavelle Lewis, myself, the Jose Pio. We have a caller, the Mike. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, Chico and the Man. How's it going, guys?
What's up?
Hey,
good.
Not much. I originally was going to call earlier to talk about our bright college students freezing their asses off in the tents and the freezing rain at the U of R. But since we are talking local politics, and you guys are pretty in touch and in tune, what's going on with our favorite county executive, Adam Bellow, and the ex-medical examiner? Okay? They both have non-disclosures where they can't talk about anything. Well, in my opinion, usually what happens is what politicians don't talk. And politicians are afraid of two things: little kids and dead hookers, okay? So I don't know what's going on up there, but nobody can talk about why he left, like, in the middle of the week,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Just, like, I'm leaving. I'm like, well, okay, usually I'm like, okay, hey, I'm leaving at the end of the month. You know, the typical excuse, oh, the wife, the kids, and everything. Yeah, granted, he still had a practice, and I think if I've seen the news article right on WHEC, I think he's a teacher of some sort at the U of R. Okay,
yeah.
But
Mike, I'm going to cut you off there. Yeah, it's thank you so much for the call. This is certainly I don't think this is something we can even discuss because we don't have the information. I think it's clearly something happened because you don't just drop that kind of job like that in the middle of the week without giving some kind of heads up. On top of that, with the non-disclosure agreement that he signed, it is pretty hardcore. I've personally seen quite a few NDAs, and not for anything I've done, just saying, I've never seen anything where it says that, like, until the death plus 10 years.
Wasn't like until the end of the world?
Yeah.
It's one of the phrases in there.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. So I have extended the invites. It is tentatively next Thursday. Potentially we might have the I won't name drop her, but the legislator who is behind this big push for getting the information out, she should be coming on the actual podcast because Avon, I guess, is too far for her to drive, and especially during the day. So we'll be having her potentially on
the
next podcast.
That would be interesting.
That would be very interesting. I'd be very happy to have a conversation with her.
I've been very impressed with sort of like her red pill stance that she's been having with a lot of nefarious things that's been happening within that party and that side. And
my party, my side.
Yeah, your party. You guys are, you know, waking up to conservative thoughts. But he did resign a day after the cadaver water was discovered.
Yeah, I don't think that has anything to do with
that. Okay, so it wasn't that, because he was rotten in our water for about 2 weeks.
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
At least.
And also the guy that found him was on vacation, so all the other guards that were there just never patrolled, but that one guy did his job. But anyway, that whole NDA thing is definitely strange. Bellow, finally, he's getting his cage rattled a little bit where people are trying to hold him accountable, which is good.
Yeah, so they should have held him accountable during the vote.
Yeah, they should have done that.
Because he won handedly over the Republican.
Yeah, well, again, when you have a lot of money, number one, and number two, the message you've been running on so far has been, race baiting, COVID, right? You still had that. You're still using COVID as, our response to COVID here in Rochester was top of the line. All the little crap stuff that they can just pitch to their base. That's what one bellowed. He didn't do anything that would, you know, make people judge him or look at him differently. But now that there's a little bit of
pushback from within the party.
Yeah, finally.
Finally, people are actually standing up and understanding. This is what I've been saying the entire time, is that people are starting to know that it's It is the party issue. The fact that there are two parties, and that's the issue. While most people are in between those two parties, mm-hmm. depending on the topic of conversation. Right. And that's why Democrats were hating on me so much, because I was seeing this before it happens. It's amazing how much I've seen before it actually came true. But people are, depending on the issue, you could ask them, and they could be conservative or they could be liberal. Mm-hmm. But the topic can change, and that's where most people are. Most people are moderates. Yeah. The fact of the matter is both parties have their extremes. And so most people are looking into the middle and saying, who's going to represent us here in the middle? Who's going to be the one to stand up and say this, that, and the other? And on top of that, make the right decisions Absolutely. That are going to impact us, not just now, but our children's future. And right now we're seeing, well, crap, we've had politicians in position of power for a number of years who have gotten us to this point right now where our, you know, this generation can't afford to buy a home. And it's because of these same politicians that have been in office for decades who are now decrepit, old, and freaking going senile directly in front of us on TV. It's because of them that we are in this position. And we need to start voting better. We need to start voting for people who actually have experience and have knowledge of finances and business and understanding that all of these wars are not a good idea. Us paying taxes to go to other countries endlessly is not a good idea. I really want to thank Mike for that call, and hopefully we do have this person on the podcast. Make sure you are on our Facebook page, the Politically Correcting Podcast Facebook page, so that you get the alerts for that, because, you know, the Kazarian-led YouTube...
Be careful.
Kazarian-led YouTube is blocking us still.
The Kaza.
Yeah, them.
We did have a comment from Lindsay Fox on our Facebook page. She said, Mendoza has a serious alcohol addiction and a well-known woman night. And a well-known womanizer, so I'm going to put two and two together on this one. Maybe it could be something like that. Who knows?
Yeah, but that's three-quarters of Rochester.
Well, you can't three men in here. They did, within one of the stipulations, if he wants to enter the building, he has to give a 48-hour notice before he even comes in.
Yeah. Like,
they need to know where he is at all times.
Yeah, that's weird.
Very
because
weird.
It's a publicly funded building, you should be able to have full access to it. So there, that right there is potentially something that needs to be brought up and said, why? Why is this?
What if he just had a problem with, you know, having a couple IPAs and wanted to fill up the security secretary? I don't know.
Who knows?
Maybe.
I don't want to spread disinformation on this.
Ladies and gentlemen. I'm just putting things out there that could possibly be. Who knows? I don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, allegedly is the word that applies.
Allegedly.
We don't know these things about Dr. Mendoza.
We do not. And we do need to clarify on the Chris Dunn thing.
Oh, yeah. Chris Dunn is I think it was Duhon. I get the names mixed up sometimes. However, Oscar Dunn was the first black lieutenant governor in the country, mind you, in 1868. So it's Oscar Dunn. Look him up. Former slave that overcame his circumstances to become lieutenant governor. Holy smokes.
Wow. That's impossible. They said that it's not possible unless we had a black president. And now we have Obama, and they still say it's impossible.
This country is so racist. The state that was the most known for the slave trade. It was a port. It was a big port. One of my ancestors came through that port. I know that for a fact because I do my own research. But Oscar Dunn is a gentleman's name. He was a former plasterer as well. He had a job. He had a career. And he said, you know what? I don't want to just do plaster. I kind of want to get into politics.
Oh, I thought you were trying to say pastor.
No, plasterer.
He plastered.
Yes. He had a skill that gave him the ability to rise up and become lieutenant governor.
Well, hopefully we can all learn from that, because what we're seeing in the city, and we're going to jump into after, I know we got a break coming up, but something that happened on April 18th regarding a man who forced himself into a woman's house and forced himself onto her. I know we got to take a break. I do want to get into that topic after we come from that, though, but there is the fact of the matter here that if you are not sharing the show with your friends and family and your loved ones, then you do not love them. Because the amount of information that we talk about on this show is mesmerizing. And this is why we can't even have guests on, because we're just too good, bro. We're just too good.
Yeah, guests got to step their game up when they come up in this building. Just saying.
Yeah, especially when we got the two Bobbies here, Dr. Bob and Bobby D back there.
Right. The Bob Savage.
That's right, Dr. Bob. Appreciate you. Appreciate everyone listening. We'll be back after this break. 346-3000 is the number to call here at the WYSL station. We are the politically correcting voice, Lavelle Lewis, myself, the Jose Pio. When we come back, we'll jump into that topic of this man, this disgusting human being, breaking into his neighbor's house and forcing himself onto a woman. We'll be right back.
What a
to live the quality of life we deserve in truth and freedom, informed by our Constitution, our laws, and traditions, we need to pick the best leaders possible. Recent experience certainly illustrates that. Free and accurate elections are essential if we're going to restore our society and safeguard our rights. New York Citizens Audit is a volunteer, nonpartisan group which has been lobbying for open source audits of the State Board of Elections and reform of the electoral process statewide. Did you know Citizens Audit has uncovered over 1 million felony violations of election law, that in 2020 there were 625,000 more voter registrations than existing voting age citizens in just six New York counties, that there were 338,000 more votes cast than voters who voted. These are just a few shocking examples of the urgent need for reform. You can help. Visit auditny.com and learn the facts, how to volunteer, and make a difference in your community. Again, volunteer, donate, or spread the word. Start at auditny.com. That's auditny.com.
I'm Greece Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Joe Robach. If you're looking to market and grow your business, make new business connections, and give back to the community in a meaningful way, consider joining the Greece Regional Chamber. We are the largest suburban chamber in Monroe County, and we offer networking, education, marketing, insurance, and advocacy. You do not need to live or work in Greece to join. Our members come from throughout the region. In short, we are better together, and together, we can move your business forward. Visit GreaseChamber.org or call 585-227-7272 to join today. You'll be glad you did.
I'm Tom Wall's team member, Ollie. We were getting crushed. It's the middle of a Friday dinner, and all of a sudden, my boss screams out,
"You guys are doing a great job!"
In unison, me and 20 coworkers yell back, "Thanks, Kat. Tom Wall's." Tom Wall's.
Politically correcting.
Dun, 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 dun. We are back, politically correcting boys, Lavelle Lewis, myself, the Jose Pio, with of course the fantastic duo of Bobbies here. We got Dr. Bob and Bobby D.
That Michael Jackson coming in.
Yeah, that, well, Jackson 5.
Yes, well, Michael Jackson was going to lead. You know, he's it's still Jackson 5, but it's Michael Jackson.
Well, you got to get it right. We have the Jackson 5. You have the Jacksons, and then you got Michael Jackson.
Yeah. That was the Jacksons then. That wasn't Jackson 5.
Fine.
There you go. Corrected you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Chris Dunn.
Right.
On April 18th, 37-year-old Steven Narvaez has been accused of forcing his way into a neighbor's home on Scranton Street and robbing her. It is alleged that Narvaez forced his way into the home, pinned the victim against a wall with scissors held to her throat, demanded money, and threatened to rape her. Mm-hmm. Investigators said he took cash from her purse and then left. Officers arrested Narvaez on the 22nd. It happened on the 18th. They arrested him on the 22nd, 4 days later, and took him to Monroe County Jail. He was charged with first-degree burglary, first-degree robbery, and petite larceny, and was arraigned in Rochester City Court the next morning and was released from custody. What world do we live in where a neighbor can bust through a woman's home, threaten to rape her, hold her down with scissors to her throat, rob her, get arrested 4 days later, and then let out the very next day? What city do we want this to be? Is that the city you want?
It is a city. It is a community. It is a society that has moved people away from the thought of arming themselves to keep themselves safe. We don't promote the Second Amendment. We do not. We think it's like a problem within society. We vilify it. People don't think that you know, it's a right that they should exercise. But just given with the crime element that has always been around, like people are just bad people. Some folks have just this mental illness where they want to take, which is why this is probably why equity will equality and just the whole socialist idea will never work, because there will always be someone that wants to take something that doesn't belong with them, to them. It will never change.
That's multiple reasons right there.
Right. And I hope now with all of this crime and all of the stuff that we talk about here on this show, that people really start to question who they elect. Don't elect based off of skin color. Do not elect based off of party affiliation.
Well, this is the problem here. All right. So you brought up Assembly Member Damon Meeks, right? Mm-hmm. And how he's a Marxist. I think it's pretty clear that we know he's a Marxist. On top 100%. Of that, he was all for tenants' rights during COVID to not be evicted mm-hmm. when they are just simply not paying their bills.
Mm-hmm.
The alternatives to that are twofold. We've got Marcus C. Williams from the Republican Party, who I don't know where you're going to go with that one. And then we have the Democrat, Willie Lightfoot, who is, if you can't say anything other than he is against the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
So we've got someone who is a Marxist, and we've got someone who doesn't want anyone to own guns.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the decision there then? Because we're damned if we do, damned if we don't on this situation.
You gotta ask, why does Willie feel that way? I know he's a part of this gun violence group that he put together.
Right.
And, all right, if you're gonna take away the guns, what's your solution to keeping people safe within their own homes? If you're gonna attack illegal guns, okay, or illegal possession of weapons, you're going to prosecute those individuals harder or harsher. Okay, I can support or see that.
No, we don't even have that.
Right,
we
that's
have
what
the laws.
Right, but that's
place.
What I'm asking is right. If he's doing that, then okay, I understand his plight, but he's
that.
Not doing that.
What
so
he's
then
doing
he's
is
a
going
problem.
After the gun. First of all, he's going after the gun dealers because New York State's not doing enough to kind of, you know, push them out of the state. And then he's going after legal gun owners, because there's been many conversations on city council where I'm like, you're bringing up all this data about how the majority of people who commit crimes got their guns illegally from somehow a legal gun owner.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point there was a criminal act that was done for that person to obtain that gun illegally. Mm-hmm. So that's let's say I have my gun, right? And you decide that you're going to rob me. You committed a criminal act by robbing me of my gun. Now you go and rob someone else using my gun.
Mm-hmm.
And this politician's idea of fixing the issue is to come after me?
It's a flawed issue. And I do think that we have time to hold him accountable on that while he's on the campaign trail. You know, we have to ask these questions while they're out there campaigning, while they're out there giving their speeches. We don't have the ability to do that anymore. Remember when they used to have like town halls, and they go up there and have a question and they will answer questions? This has been the formula for the left, to where they come out here, they use social media, they put out these social issues, they'll stoke the fires of everybody's feelings and emotions, and they'll use a crime within the city to further their agenda, which, again, if Willie is talking about policing or making it harder for law-abiding citizens to own weapons, and you don't represent us as a citizen, because that's our amended right, the Second Amendment. So you should not be able to make it harder for us to do that.
That's our God-given right.
That's
that
our
is
God-given right to protect
the
ourselves.
Amendment.
Right, written in the Second Amendment. So within just that argument alone, let's say Willie does win. Our job as citizens is to hold him accountable. He is not, just because he wins, he's not the dictator. Then all of a sudden, he's going to be the deciding factor of this situation. We have to tell him what we want as far as his position as state assemblyman.
But he won't listen when the fact If you get voted in based on what you ran on, why would you listen to anyone that differs from that?
Well, then if he doesn't do that, then maybe the MCRC should put somebody a little bit more formidable up against him next time.
You mean not the same person that loses four times in a row?
Maybe they saw this time is the charm. This is the time. This is the time. His moment.
Gotcha.
Maybe that's the case.
Maybe.
Maybe it's not. But what I'm trying, all I'm trying to state is this.
I like know the your power you're giving, because yeah. I'm very much like dark clouds on this
know, one. Know your power as a citizen and do not allow these politicians to say what they think you want to hear. Hold them accountable. Willie's a former veteran. I know he's not going to give up his gun.
He doesn't own one.
Oh, he doesn't own one?
No.
Is he telling the truth? Is he being honest? How does he pass that to the former firemen that he worked with? How does he relay that message to the folks who are veterans? How does he relay that message to them?
Well, on city council, people were saying that we don't need more guns on these streets. We need to take the illegal guns off the streets. I said, well, then do that, because I can tell you exactly where these illegal guns are. Mm. You go to this corner store and that corner store over there. Mm. Why don't you show up? Why don't you go there with the police in tow, mayor, and go into that store that everyone in the community knows is selling drugs and selling guns, and they're doing it out of this corner store right here on Dewey Avenue, and just go walk in there and say, we've got information saying that you have this and the other. We need to do an inspection because we can, because you have a business license through us, right. And you sell tobacco, you sell alcohol. We need to make sure that you are on the up and up here, or else you might not be able to have your business license because you're just not being a good neighbor. That's what we have as a good neighbor policy.
Yeah. Well, I've yet to see any politician actually go after the federal government and their involvement with putting in drugs and guns into our community.
I want to reiterate, we are not suicidal on this show.
No, we are not. And this isn't even an alleged take on our government.
It's happened in the past.
The Fast and Furious gun running
and not situation. Not that long ago.
With Obama and the ATF. They're selling guns to the Mexican cartel.
People just forget these things.
They forget about it. If they're selling it to the Mexican cartels, then they're going to Chirac and they're just dropping them off in that community also.
And then they let the freaking Mexican cartel into our country.
With the guns that we sold them. Make that make sense. But I've yet to hear people like Willie speak about that. If you really want to resonate, and I'm not trying to give any advice to this campaign that I really don't support at all. But if you really want to kind of make some inroads with the people, how about you try holding the CIA, the FBI, and our federal government accountable before you try and hold us accountable?
And then helping Black, Latino, White, Asian, new Americans, all of them to actually utilize their Second Amendment the correct way and get guns legally to defend themselves, defend their homes, defend their families, and defend their country.
Oh, wait, real quick. Michael Barbera Baldwin on our Facebook page said, Edison Tech student had an arsenal of guns in his home. That's a problem.
That is a problem.
Where did he get those from, though?
Exactly. Well, hopefully we'll see a big gun bust soon of illegal guns out of these corner stores. Come on, Mayor. Do your job. That's the Politically Correcting Podcast.
That's a joke of the day.
Laval Lewis, myself, the Jose P.O. Special shout out to the Dr. Bob and Bobby D back there on the ones and twos. As always, tomorrow evening, 6 p.m., we'll be on our Facebook page with the return of the NSFW podcast. We look forward to seeing you there. Make sure you have your drinks in hand, and we're going to have some real good conversations. We love you. We'll see you on tomorrow night, 6 p.m.